Father, in the name of Jesus, as always, we thank you for the entrance of your word. It brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. So let it be this morning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, give it all back to me, saith the Lord. That's our topic today. Well, that's a strange one, but, you know, let's see what the Lord is saying. You know, at a time such as this, let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. You know, that's what's going on now. God is calling his own, you know, and he's giving us the gems, you know, the things that will press us sharper into the image of the Christ. You know, you gotta press those grapes for the wine to come out. You know, and he's pressing us sharper and sharper into that image. Glory to God. So this morning, let's get started with what the Lord is saying to us. Give it all back to me, saith the Lord. And we're going to cover several aspects, but I want to start here by saying, you know, the Lord says in Isaiah 42 and verse 8, let's start with that. I have many other scriptures that I will share and as we go along. But let's start with that one. That one sounds like a good one to start with for this room. Here's what the Lord says about, you know, his glory. Hallelujah. I am the Lord. And I like it when the Lord says that. You know, he kind of puts it out there. Let us know, you know, who it is that is talking. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. You know, so we're going to start out with that. We're going to talk about the things that belong to God. Jesus said, show me a coin. They showed him a coin. Whose image and superscription is this? I said, well, Caesar. He said, give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and then give to God the things that are God. Well, the things that belong to God that we must give to God or give back to him are the things that we're going to be talking about today. In the book of Psalm 29, let's take a look at it. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. And worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Well, the song that we just listened to said, look, you know, you cannot have my glory. Don't you try to get it. Don't you try to steal it. Don't you try to get credit for it. You know, because it is the Lord. The Lord did all these things, created us even. Listen to Isaiah 43. We're going to read verses 7 and 21. That chapter is a powerful chapter, but I'm not going to read all of it because of, obviously, time. Let's just read a couple of verses out of it. Isaiah 43, let's read verse 7. You know, pick it up from verse 6 just for a little context. I will say to the north, give up. And to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. Hallelujah. And I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Hallelujah. So the Lord is revealing right there that, you know, we were created for his glory. Now, let's never forget it. Praise God. Now, Jump down here to verse 21. Say, these people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Doesn't the Bible say something like that also in 1 Peter 2 and 9, that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people called out of darkness, you know, into his marvelous light to show forth his praises? That's right. Must show forth his praises. But let's get deeper into these today. Everything that we have, even the things that God gave us or can give us. Some of you may have heard me say this several times. Cannot replace God. And we must give it all back to the Lord. You know, and you're going to find out why that is so key. In the book of Genesis, chapter 15 and verse 1. I love this scripture when we're talking on this subject. The Lord said to Abram, hallelujah, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and exceeding great reward. You know, so now in this story, as you know, the Lord offered Abraham himself. And Abraham turned around and said, Lord, but I don't have a child. You got to give me this. You got to give me that. You know, so the Lord said, fine, I will give you this. I will give you that. But you got to give it back to me. Now, this is our text story, or the story behind this subject today. The story of Abraham. And there are other things that we'll talk about as well. But this man, Abraham, you know, the Lord offered him himself. And this is the story for many of us also. You know, he that spared not his only son, but had given him to us, offered him up for us, shall he not even with him freely give us things? What about? He already offered even his very self. What else do we want beyond that? Well, when God offers himself up to you on a platter, and instead of embracing all of that, if you ask for this or that and so forth, he will give it to you as well. Because if he already gave you something, I mean, if he already gave you himself, how much less anything else? So whatever else you want, he will give it to you. But you're going to have to bring it back to the altar. Because he gave you himself, but your mind wandered off to other things. Give me this, give me that. Give me a son. I don't have a son in my house. You know, this and that. And the Lord said, fine, I'll give it to you, but you're going to have to bring it back to the altar. So this story, we pick it up in Genesis chapter 22. And in Genesis chapter 22, after that, Abraham actually had this child of promise. His name is called Isaac. You all know this story, but there's something we want to bring out here. Something very key. I was going to leave this to the last part of the teaching, but I want to put it out right here in front so nobody should miss it. You know, this is what we want to bring out today. The Lord said to Abraham, take thy son, thy only son. In the King James here, I say the Lord tempt. That's a bad translation. God doesn't tempt anybody. Tested Abraham. You know, test. You know, and, you know, God tests you in the things that, you know, he even gives you. Hallelujah. The very things that God gives you that you desired of him, when he offered you himself, he will test you in it. And the question will be, lovest thou me more than this? You love me more than these things that I've given you? You love me more than this son that was so dear to you, that you asked me for when I offered you myself? You love me more than him? It's a grown man now. It's going to be your heir, just like I promised. But do you love me more than him? Do you love me more than this gift that I've given you? And that's a punchline today. Lovest thou me more than these things that even I have given you, saith the Lord? That's a question. But you got to give it back to the Lord to show him that you have chosen him as your chief joy. We all must do that. I must give back anything that I got from the Lord, that even God himself offered me, back to him, for me to show that I have chosen him as my chief joy, and that nothing can replace him. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee to the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now, this is a strange commandment. And, but Abraham, he rose up early. Now, if the Lord says something like that to us today, or if we heard the voice of God saying something like that today, I don't know how many of us will actually obey that voice. We probably will be rebuking that voice, but that can't be God. Be blasting in tongues, praying in the Holy Ghost, rebuking that voice, because it could not possibly have come from God. God could not possibly ask me to do that. Well, who has been the Lord's instructor or known the mind of the Spirit that we should instruct him? We can't tell God what to do. He tells you. He tells us. And it's left to us to either obey. And you know, faith leads to obedience. You know, the Bible says, and I'm going to read it to you in a minute in Hebrews 11. But let's take a look at, you know, this right now. This story, I'm not going to read all of the story because you know the story. How God called him to offer his son. And he did. He almost got to the point, even the son asked him, look, you know, I see the wood. I see the fire. But where is the lamb? And Abraham said, don't worry about it. The Lord will provide himself a lamb. My goodness. He even told the people that followed him, he said, look, you guys stay here, you know, and I will go with the lad yonder and worship and come again to you. Glory to God. And the book of Hebrews chapter 11, talking about this saga of Abraham in Hebrews 11 verses 17 and 19. Let's read it. You know, this is how it was reported of Abraham, how that by faith he did this act that we are now reading. So we see that even faith leads to obedience, because this act is recorded among the acts of faith that are in these in this chapter. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, see, that's tried, not tempted. The other one was a bad translation, because God doesn't tempt anybody. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Almost like God offering up his only begotten son. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. From whence also he received him in a figure. So, I'm going to go with the lad. We're going to go and worship. You guys stay here. We'll come back again. Well, I don't know how he had faith to believe that, but ultimate faith is absolute submission to the will of the Father. That's another punchline. You take that this morning. You know, to get our faith to the point that is absolute, you know, I mean, ultimate faith, it comes from absolute submission. God says, and we do. And at times we think it is, oh, we're just obeying. But no, the scripture is saying that it even takes faith to do that. It takes our faith in the living God to obey his every command. Hallelujah. So, of course, you know, at the end, very close to the point where Abraham was about to offer the child, he lifted up his hand. So I'm going back to the story because there's something we want to bring out here. He lifted up, he bound the child the whole time. I don't know whether that child was screaming and Abraham's trying to gag him and everything. You know, he didn't tell us all that part of it, but you can imagine. I mean, the kid is so frightened. What are you doing? Like, gags his mouth. You know, just trust me, he says. I don't know. You know, the boy is frightened out of his life. And so, Abraham, he put the child on the altar and he raises up his hand and tries to strike the child with the knife in verse 10. And the angel of the Lord in verse 11 called out to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, he said, here I am. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son from me. Give it all back to me, saith the Lord. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram was caught in the thicket by the horns. So the Lord provided a ram. And he called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. That's where it came from. When you talk about that today, you know, that's where it came. And the angel of the Lord called out of Abraham again the second time. And listen to this. And said, now the angel of the Lord is speaking for the Lord here. You know, praise God. He says, by myself, I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. Now God has promised Abraham some blessing before, but this covenant, this particular one of everlasting blessing, this particular one that the Bible says in Hebrews 6 that God looking for how to swear by somebody greater than himself. He couldn't, I mean, people always swear by somebody greater. So God searched heaven and earth to try to find somebody greater than himself that he could swear by. He couldn't find it. So he swore by himself. And he said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, even thy only son, that in blessing will I bless you. And in multiplying will I multiply thy seed. Glory to God. You know, and so this is how Abraham sealed that blessing forever. You know, because he gave back the beginning of the blessing to the Lord. And that's the punchline today. So listen to that. God gave him the seed for the blessing. The seed was Isaac. That was the beginning of the blessing. God gave a little seed which was going to grow, right? But then God said, give it back to me. Now, you can hold on to this seed and don't give it back to the Lord. Or you can give it back to the Lord. You know, and Abraham gave it back to the Lord. John chapter 12 and verse 24. Except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. Now, he could have held on to Isaac and he would have not had all these incredible blessings which the Lord now swore to give him. Now, this came only after his obedience of giving it back to the Lord. The Lord said, give it back to me. And he obeyed. And then God now swore by himself. Hallelujah. And he put it right out there. You know, he laid that blessing smack down upon Abraham. In blessing, hallelujah, I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply. Now, you gave me one seed. You gave me your only son. But I'm going to take that now because you gave it to me and you did not hold him back from me. Now, I'm going to take that one son that you gave me. I am going to multiply your seed. Glory to God. To the stars of heaven, as just as innumerable as they are, so shall thy seed be. Glory to God. Because you have done this thing and you did not withhold your only son from me. Give it all back to me, saith the Lord. Now, all the things that we must give back to him, let me begin to enumerate them. Your very life, our very life that God gave to us, we got to give it back to him. That's why we tell people today, give your life to Christ. Give your life. People say, but they don't really know what they are saying. Give your life to Christ. Give your life. What does that really mean? Well, this is what it means. You know, God gave you that life, but you got to give it back to him. Because if you hold on to it, according to the book of Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, Jesus said, you know, if any man will, you know, be my disciple and all that, you know, let him take up his cross daily and let him deny himself and let him follow me. That's also, deny yourself is also part of that. You know, give back to God the things that you would have held on to. Your comfort zone, your pleasure, your everything, even your very life. We give it back to God. And Jesus said, look, for whosoever will hang on to his life, he will lose it. But if you give it to me, glory to God, you get it back. You know, hallelujah. So the next time you tell somebody, give your life to Christ, this is what it's all about. If you hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give it to the Lord, then you are going to save it. Hallelujah. So you must give it all back to me. Your very life, your body is mine, saith the Lord. And you got to give it back to me. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, that dwelleth in you, and you are not your own? Your body is not your own. Got to give it back to me, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Wherefore, glorify God. Thank you, Jesus. Glorify God in your body. Hallelujah. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Give it all back to me, saith the Lord. Your achievements. Let's talk about that. Glory to God. I'm going to dwell on that for a bit. Let's talk about our achievements. How do we give our achievements back to God? Well, there's a great example in the book of Revelation chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. You know, the elders that were in heaven. Now, who these elders are, we're not told. Your guess is as good as mine. But whoever they are, the 4 and 20 elders, they are there as a cloud of witnesses. They are not there to check the Lord, but they are there to let you know that they can say that, look, for as long as we've been around this throne, we have always seen him faithful. They are a cloud of witnesses. Hallelujah. And they fall down before him that sat upon the throne. And they worship him that liveth forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne. Hallelujah. Saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things. Didn't we read that in Isaiah 43? I've created him for my glory. Thou hast created all things and for thy pleasure. They are and were created. That's a song we sing out of these verses. Now, what does that mean? You know, it's like, look, everything that we achieved, Paul actually said the same thing in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 10. Everything that I have achieved, I count it but nothing. Glory to God. For the excellency, you know, that I may gain Christ. I give it all back to him. You know, I'm not saying that I've already attained, but whatever thing I thought I had already attained, you know, those I counted loss for Christ. Philippians 3 and 7. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss. I give it up. Hallelujah. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. For whom I suffer all these things, the loss of all things, I give it all back to him. You know, and you count them but dung. That's another word for dung that I can't even say on this platform. You know, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, righteousness, which is of God by faith, that I may know him. Woo-hoo. Now, when you give him what is his, just like Jesus says, give unto Caesar what are Caesar's. And what are the things that are Caesar's today? Well, those of us that live in the United States, we call Uncle Sam. We got to pay our taxes. We got to do this. We got to do that. So give to Caesar what Caesar. Jesus wasn't fighting the Roman Empire. You know, he wasn't doing. So look, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Fine. But you give to God You see, we are in this world, most of us who are believers, we have double, at least dual citizenship. Sometimes even triple citizenship. I have triple citizenship because first and foremost, I'm a citizen of heaven. That's number one. I was a citizen of Nigeria and still I'm a citizen of Nigeria. Now I'm a citizen of the United States. So I've got triple citizenship. You know, so when you are in the United States, you give to Caesar what is Caesar. When you're in Nigeria, you give to Nigeria whatever it is. But since I'm always in the kingdom, then that is even superior. So I must give to God what is God's. Hallelujah. And so Paul said, look, I put everything out there. You know, I put it all out. I give it all up. And Jesus said, look, you know, if you hang on to these things, you're going to lose them. But if you give them up for my sake, you will get much more in this world, you know, 100-fold. And even later on, you will get life everlasting. Isn't that wonderful? Now, let's take a minute and think about that. Now, you can hang on to what you have that God gave you, or you can turn it back to Him and get 100-fold. Wow. 100-fold. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus promises in this world. Even now, because you gave it to Him and He'll give it back to you. Much more than you thought. Let's take a look at that in Mark chapter 10 and verse 30. Mark chapter 10 and verse 30. Maybe I'll read it from one or two verses before that, just to give us some context. So let's look at Mark chapter 10 and verse 30 is where I'm going. But maybe I will read it from verse 29. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, there is no man or woman that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or all of these things or land for my sake. Now it has to be for his sake and for the gospel's sake, or rather for the kingdom's sake, or the gospel. It's the gospel of the kingdom. It's all the same. But he shall receive an 100-fold. Now it's like a corn of wheat. You plant a few seeds, but when it grows, a tremendous harvest. You know, I mean, factors of multiplication is how that thing eventually develops. The few grain that you plant, you will receive in this world, now, in this time, houses, glory to God. Brethren, sisters, all this, you got even more. Of course, that'll come with persecution too. And that's all part of it. The persecution is to press us more and more into the image. And then in the world to come, eternal life, because you gave it all back to Him. Well, let's consider some stories of some people that gave it to God in the Bible. And some that did not. Look at the both sides and see what, you know, the Lord, Holy Spirit will speak to us from that. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1, from verses 24 to 28, you might know this story. Anna, who turned out to be the mother of Samuel, you know, she, for a long time, she was barren, didn't have a child, you know, and, you know, her husband had two wives. You know, one was Peninnah, and who had children. But she, who was Hannah, had no children. But her husband loved her, you know, and, you know, but she didn't have a child. Now, because she didn't have a child, you know, the other woman gloated and made fun of her or whatever and made her feel bad, you know, and felt that she was superior to her and so on. So she went in the sorrow of her heart all her days. many times she wouldn't eat. You know, she would go to the house of the Lord and pray. The Lord, you got to give me something here. My adversary is, you know, making, you know, bullying me with all these things, you know, and oppressing me and making my heart to be sorrowful. Her husband said to her, look, why are you sorrowful? You know, am I not better to you than even 10 sons? No. When a woman wants a child, there is nothing else that you can offer her. I'll replace her. You offer yourself. I mean, this man offered her himself. Look, you got me. What are you worried about? The woman said, no. I know I got you, but I want my own child. I want to embrace my own child. She went in the bitterness of her spirit. Many days, she went into the house of God, began to pray. Eli thought that she was drunken because she was praying her heart when her mouth, lips were moving, but nothing was coming out. But she said, no, I'm not drunken. And so eventually, Eli figured it out that she wasn't drunken. So Eli blessed her and said, well, the Lord, you know, grant you your desire. So she went home and she got pregnant. She had a child. And she made a vow. Now, many of us do that. When we are in a tight spot, many times, and even in some life and death situations, some people make a vow, Lord God Almighty, if you pull me out of this, I will do this thing. I will serve you all my life. I will give you this. I will give you that. We promise up and down. But do we keep it? Many times, no. But this woman, let's pick up this story, you know, in verse 24 of 1 Samuel 1. After the child began to, after she had the child, she was, you know, breastfeeding him and so forth, and trying to win him. Husband said, look, it's time to go to the house of the Lord. Said, no, I can't go yet. I got to do this. You know, so at some point in time, after she had weaned him, she took up the child with her and three bullocks. This is 1 Samuel 1 and 24. And took all the things that they were commanded them to make sacrifice with. And she went to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was very young. And so, you know, she went and everything like that. They killed the sacrifice, offered unto the Lord. And she said to Eli, she said, look, you might remember that I was the woman that stood by you here praying and you gave me a word of blessing. And I had said in my heart that if the Lord were to give me this child, you know, which I asked of him, I'm going to do something with the child. And she said, now I'm come to return the child to the Lord. Give it all back to me, said the Lord. I am come to return this child back to the Lord. Because I promised, if the Lord were to give me this child, I will lend him back to the Lord all the days of his life. But she kept her promise. And she did too. And that child became an amazing prophet of the Lord. And all the things, the rest of the story of Samuel, they're written in the book of Samuel and some other parts of the scriptures. You know, so she gave him back to the Lord and a tremendous blessing followed. Well, let's consider some people that did not give God. Let's talk about glory. We talked about, you know, the glory is mine, saith the Lord, and I will not share my glory with anyone. Now, God can give you his glory, but you got to give it back to him. As a matter of fact, Jesus prayed that prayer in John chapter 17. And he said, the glory which I had with thee from the beginning, I have given unto them, that they should be one, even as we are one. Now, he's the one that gave us. We can't take it. But even when he gives it to you, then you got to give it back to him. Let's read it before I go back to this or that. Let's read it in John 17. This is a prayer. The glory, verse 22, that thou gavest me, I have given unto them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Now, remember, he said, I will give not my glory to anyone. But Jesus turned around and said, I want them to be partakers with me. Why? Because if we become sons of God, just like the Christ, then we are in him, then we got the glory. John hears with him, we got the glory. And Jesus said, I want them to be where I am, that they may see the glory which thou hast given me from beginning. Here's what he said in verse 24. Father, I pray also that they whom you have given to me will be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory and even share my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me from the foundation of the world. And in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21, here's what the Lord said. You know, in that giving many promises to the overcomers, Revelation 3 and 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and I'm now set down with my Father in his throne. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, in his throne. We're not even talking of on his left hand or his right hand now. We're talking of in his very throne. And how big is his throne? I don't know. The heavens is his throne. The earth is his footstool. And that's how big his throne is. And he'll set you right there with him in his throne if you overcome. One of the things we must overcome is pride or stealing God's thunder. We must overcome that. And that's part of this lesson today. So let's pick up the story here of a few guys who did not give God the glory. Now, when people give you the accolades, you got to return the glory to God. I have to deal with that all the time. I have to deal with it all the time. Being a minister of the gospel, being a teacher of this word, you know, people will hear the word, they will be blessed, and they will say some things, you know, and I have to give the glory back to God. Because they will say, oh, that was a powerful message. That was a this and that and so on. You know, well, if you let that get to your head, then you already missed the mark. You know, so, yeah, it's okay to give honor to whom honor is due. You know, the Bible says that. You know, people give honor, you know, so those who labor among you, you know, count them of double honor. So people say that, and that's okay. But the recipient of that honor must turn around and give it back to God. Because all things belong to God. The glory, the honor, and the everything accolade that we have or people bestow on us, we got to turn it right back to the Lord. So here's the story in Acts chapter 12. Herod, upon a certain day, in Acts chapter 12, verses 21 to 23, you know, this man, he wanted to celebrate his birthday. He wanted to do all these things. He come out there and gave an amazing speech. You know, I was amazed. Spoke like an orator. And people said he was great, you know, and he said, you know, he made an oration unto them. The people gave a shout. Acts chapter 12 and verse 20. He said, my God, this is the voice of a God. Not even the voice of a man. And this thing entered into this man's head. Maybe he started strutting that. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm a God already. Well, there are some very rare occasions in the Bible where God does something like this. But he did. Just to show us that the Lord can look to everyone that is proud and bring them down. And anytime you steal God's thunder, he can put you down just like that. You know, and so this man, you know, instead of turning that back to God and say, no, I'm not God and I'm not a God. I'm not, you know, it's the glory of God. It's the gift of God. He didn't. So immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. See, that's the thing. You know, so God put his story here, and this is in the New Testament, folks. So people should not think that, oh, those kind of things only happen in the Old Testament. This happened in the New Testament. So God put this story out there just so we can see if you don't give that glory back to God, all kinds of things can happen. You know, so we should not talk about, oh, we are in the era of grace. This was the era of grace that this thing happened. And so the he was eaten up of worms and he gave up the ghost. Right there. This was a great man that was full of pomp and glory in 1 minute, you know, and so forth. He had his crown, he has a regal outfit, he had everything, pomp and glory and everything. The next minute, he became rotten. My goodness. That sight probably never, you know, left the minds of the people and their imaginations that, wow, look at what became. I mean, it became a byword and became a story all over the land. There was another man which many people are also familiar with in the Bible. And this one is in the Old Testament. His name was Nebuchadnezzar. And he was a man that was an absolute monarch. He ruled the kingdoms of the world at the time. You know, and, you know, he had so much glory. I mean, they built all the hanging gardens and so forth of Babylon and all that stuff. And this man was powerful. You know, he was even depicted as a head of gold. I mean, he was great. But it was the Lord that made him great. But he forgot that. You know, so let's pick up his story here in Daniel chapter 4. You know, from verses 29 to about the end. You know, so this Nebuchadnezzar, he has his own account of himself. Now, he, of course, you know, there was a thing that was shown to him before, right? There was a dream that was shown to him. And in the dream, you know, after Daniel interpreted the dream to him, Daniel gave him an advice. He said, look, why don't you break off your sins by righteousness and all these things, you know, and so forth. But he didn't do it. You know, here's what he says in book of Daniel chapter 4. Let's read from verse 29. He says, well, all these things came upon Nebuchadnezzar. Well, let me start from 27. Here's what the advice Daniel gave. He said, look, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. Break off your sins by righteousness, you know, and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. It may be a lifting of your tranquility. I mean, humble yourself, do all these things and so forth. He didn't listen. Well, at the end of 12 months, he was in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. And the king said, now let's look at the words of the king. Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? I mean, look at all these things that I have done. And he strutted his stuff and he walked up and down the place. You know, I said, look, my goodness, look at all the things that I've done. Look at how great I am. I mean, nobody like me in the world. You know, I rule the world. I rule the world, you know. And he said, well, in the very moment when that word was yet in his mouth, I felt a voice from heaven that said, O King Nebuchadnezzar, you are a king nonetheless. As a matter of fact, God made you a king among kings. You know, but because you did not give it all back to him, the kingdom is departed from you. They shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. You know, and they shall make you to eat grass as oxen until 7 years be passed over you, and until you know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Woo-hoo. God put it down. Made him like a monkey. Whiskers are coming out of his mouth. Gave him a heart of a beast. They drove him out. Started to grow whiskers. Started to grow claws and everything. And my God, God didn't let him die though. You know, I went into the bush for 7 years. And this story is in the Bible, folks, for a reason. Now, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lift all of my eyes to heaven. And my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. Now, he figured it out. This is what he should have done at the beginning. All the time that he was in his pomp and his glory, should have given it back to God. And this would not have happened to him, but the Lord allowed it for a reason. And God gave him a second chance. And his understanding returned to him, and I blessed the Most High. And I praised, you know, you have to think of all the things he went through in those 7 years. You know, I might speak on those things one day, but not today. But one day, his understanding returned to him. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion, now he figured it out, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the, and he now gave the most flowing, you know, accolade and ode to the Lord. You know, there's none more beautiful in that whole Bible. Not even what David said. It's more beautiful than what this man would say. Finally, when he figured it out. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. That's right. Now you know. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. You know, I used to think I was a monarch. I was a king of kings. But now, he showed me that among the inhabitants of the earth, in the heaven and so forth, no one can stay his hand and no one can say to him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, you know, and then they restored him and so forth like that. And he said, look, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol, that's what you should have done, and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways are judgment, and all those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Hallelujah. God can do that. And God, you know, chiding with, speaking with Job and said, look, can you look to everyone that is proud and bring them down? Can you do it? Job couldn't do it. But God said, yeah, I can do it. Everyone that is proud in heart, because pride is the beginning of destruction. And in these stories that we have read for of Herod and of Nebuchadnezzar, the definition of pride here is not giving all the glory to God. That's another punchline. You know, this the definition of pride in these stories is they did not give all the glory to God. And you know, Jesus used to say, look, I seek not the honor of men, but I seek the honor that is from above. You know, and a lot of us, we enjoy the honor of men because that's our flesh. Here's what Jesus says in John chapter 12, verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. That's a tremendous promise. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. We don't need the honor of men. As a matter of fact, when we get the honor and the praise of men, Jesus said, you have your reward. So you can't have the reward in two different spheres. You can get the reward here on earth, unless the Lord is the one that gives you that reward. The Lord is the only one that can give you reward here on earth and then again in heaven, as we already read in Mark chapter, you know, the Mark 10 that we read. The Lord can give you that reward here on earth and also in heaven. But if you grab at that glory yourself, if we grab at our glory ourselves, then we have our reward. If we pray so that people can see that we know how to pray, we have our reward. If we fast so that people can see that we know how to fast, we have our reward. If we even preach and teach like I'm doing here on this platform, if the reason is so that people can say, Pastor Yaro is a powerful preacher, then I have my reward. You know, if you have your reward there, you can't get it anywhere else. You already got it. If we are soul winners and our intent is so that people can know that we win souls, you have your reward. Whatsoever we do, if it is not for the glory of God, then you have your reward. And reward, that's fine. I mean, it's okay. People can give you reward, but you got your reward. And behold, I come quickly. Revelation 12, I mean 22 and 12. My reward is with me. Well, you already got your reward. You're not going to get another one. So which one is it going to be? Why don't you give it all back to him right now? Let's give it all back to him right now so we can get that reward, that true reward. And all the accolades, the crowns, the achievements, anything that we have or anything that we hope to be, as a song that says, I owe it all to you, Lord. And we got to give it all back to him. In the book of Luke 16 and verse 15, Jesus talks about the things that are highly esteemed among men. What are those things? Well, those are titles, number one. You know, influence in the world, you know, and these things that we esteem highly among men. Luke chapter 16 verse 15 says, these things that are highly esteemed among men, they are an abomination to God. It is repulsive to God. God hates these things. These things that we are, you better cast your crowns before the Lord. The only way to preserve the honor is to give it all back to God. The only way to preserve the glory is to give it all back to God. The only way to preserve even the things that God himself, remember, you know, James chapter 1, which we have covered multiple times in this room, you know, every good gift, James 1, 17, and every perfect gift comes from above, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. All these things come from him. But even the very things that he himself can offer, the very things that he himself can give you, you got to give it back to him. That's the only way that the true blessing comes. And let's go full circle and go back to the story of Abraham. And that's where we're going to wrap it up today. When God heeded Abraham's desire to have a child, and God gave him that child, I said this at the beginning, and I'm going to say it again. God will test you in the very thing that you asked from God. Hallelujah. He will bless it to you, and then what? You know, he will say, give it back to me. And if you don't, you hang on to it, then it will be dead, and it will abide alone. Now, we got dreams. We got big dreams, and we should have big dreams. You should have big vision. Genesis 13, verses 13 and 14, God said to Abraham, look from the place where you are and see as far as you can see. That's what I will give you. And I've taught people that you got to see it in order to get there. So we got to have these things, but give it all back to me, said the Lord. If you hang on to it, you know, then you're going to lose it, you know. And sometimes we cherish something, anything that we cherish more than God. Maybe Abraham cherished that son more than God. I don't know. Because this was the son he waited for 25 years. So finally, he loved that son so much. I don't know what all he got into his heart. But God is merciful like that. It is even the very love and mercy of God that will give you such a test. It was the mercy and grace of God. And God even empowered Abraham, you know, to go through it. But God is to wait and see what he'll do. Give it back to me, said the Lord. And then you can hang on to it and say, well, you know, if I slaughter this son right now, how in the world is the promise of God going to come to pass? Because this is the very seed through whom the Lord said, all nations will be blessed. How is it going to happen? But he didn't second guess or the Lord or anything. He just obeyed. And then the Lord swore an amazing oath unto Abraham. So ladies and gentlemen, that is our lesson today. Give it back to me, said the Lord. Your dreams. Your aspirations, the beginning of your tremendous blessing, which I put in your hand, you give it back to me as though it was nothing. And in my hands, saith the Lord, that's when the true blessing will come. I will bless the thing that you gave back to me, even beyond its first estate when I first gave it to you. Glory to God. That's thus saith the Lord this morning. Now, you must give it back to the Lord. When he first gave it to you, it'll be like a corn of wheat. That's right. That's how it'll be. But if you put it in God's hand, it'll look like it is dead. But nothing ever dies in God's hands. God doesn't bury the dead. God never buries dead. He raises the dead. God who quickens the dead. When you put something back into the hands of the Lord and it looks as if, well, the thing's gone. It's not dead. And it's not even, you know, I mean, it may be sleeping, but it's God is cooking something. Just like when you put the seed in the ground. We are told that the kingdom of God is like that. You know, you put it in the ground. You don't know how it's going to be. You go to sleep. You wake up. But the earth will bring forth of itself. Because God already put a blessing smack into the seed. That the seed will bring forth of itself. Mark chapter 4 and verse 28. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First, the blade. Then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. But you can't have that bountiful harvest, if you hold on to it, you got to turn it back to the Lord. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is our lesson today. Now, here is the word that the Lord gave us, myself and my brethren here at our local church this year, that in 2023, we shall emerge. And, you know, I have purpose in my heart by the grace of God that I will teach, preach, and do these things. We'll bring forth the emerging, two sides of it. I'm going to leave the business emerging and all the, you know, physical emerging. The Lord promised that first too. I'll leave that to the hands of the Lord. But the emerging of the sons of God, because we are workmen and factory workers. Paul said to Timothy, you know, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman. We're just factory workers. We must bring forth the sons of God. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. Ezra purposed in his heart. Glory to God. And this was a scripture when I was a young man, just coming into the ministry. And the Lord showed me this scripture many years ago. It's over 45 years ago, or even more, maybe 50. And, you know, maybe even more than that. And I just said, wow, isn't this an amazing thing that a man would do this? Help me, Lord, to do the same. Ezra purposed, prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. You got to do it first before you teach it to others. And then teach in Israel statutes and judgments. So beginning in 2023, by the grace of God, we are coming into we're emerging out of the shadows. The butterfly, a creature of absolute beauty, is coming out of that ugly cocoon and caterpillar. The Lord's going to do it. Going to bring him up. And it's going to be an absolute beauty. He's doing it beginning this year. He gave us a word already. But also, the sons of God are coming forth. Unto us, a child is born. And unto us, a son is presented. The sons of God are getting ready, moving into position. God is bringing together his elect into one body, pressing them into shape. And every one of us, we are being pressed into shape. And even the factory workers themselves, this is the beauty, the paradox of God in this kingdom and this story of sons of God. Factory workers themselves will be changed. Hallelujah. Because even the husbandman must be first partaker of the fruits. So all of the things that we must do and that we will do this year and that the Lord is going to bring. And as he begins to bring them, give it all back to me, saith the Lord. When the power of God begins to move, I begin to see great things, signs and wonders among the people. Don't worry about being on stage. When you begin to do these things among the people and God begin to do great things in your life, Give it all back to me, said the Lord. Give the glory back to me. When the Lord gives you a tremendous uplift in your business this year, and he will do it because he promised it. It's amazing what God's going to do. Don't worry about how he's going to do it. That's not your concern. Just as how you put the seed in the ground, it's not your concern how the earth is going to bring it forth. But he's going to do it. But when it all happens, give it all back to me, said the Lord. Hallelujah. When you have children, see, when we ask of children, and you have these children, give it up, give them back to me, said the Lord. When you give those children to the Lord, doesn't matter where, he said, look, I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, let my sons and my daughters come forth and come back. They will come back into their borders, even if they went astray, because you gave them back to the Lord. Hallelujah. Your marriage, give it all back to me, said the Lord. You can't do it on your own. Every aspect of your life, give it all back to me, said the Lord. Your achievements in life, you know, you can be a CEO, you can be, have degrees upon degrees, you can do whatever. All these things that are highly esteemed among men, they become an abomination unless you give it all back to the Lord. But when you give it all back to the Lord, they become, you know, jewels in your crown. They become like, you know, crown then becomes a diadem. Because that's the only way you preserve the glory, is to give it back to the Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this room this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for him that has an ear. The Bible says, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Have you now understood these things, saith the Lord? Did you hear what I said unto you this morning? Give it all back to me, saith the Lord. Even Lord, as you test us in the very things that you have given to us, may we have the faith to obey the voice of the Lord this morning. Give it all back to you. And may we not seek the honor of man. May we not seek the accolades of man. And should we have and receive any of those things, may we turn it back to the Lord. That you may be all in all. Now, Lord, that which you have spoken by your mouth, let it be performed by your strong hand, and let it be verified in our lives, even as this day, that we will emerge, glory to God, even in this year. And may we receive grace of the Lord also to give it all back to you. And when Abraham did that very thing and gave it back to you, then you swore by yourself. And may that be our story when we give it back to the Lord. May the Lord give a tremendous increase at the latter state. We outperform and out exceed even the initial state. We give you, Lord, all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the room. Hallelujah.